Our New Testament reading is from Hebrews chapter 4, verses 14 through chapter 5, verse 3. Listen for the word of the Lord. Since then, we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast to our confession. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who in every respect has been tested as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore approach the throne of grace with boldness so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Every high priest chosen from among mortals is put in charge of things pertaining to God on their behalf to offer gifts and sacrifices for sins. He is able to deal gently with the ignorant and wayward since he himself is subject to weakness, and because of this he must sacrifice for his own sins as well as for those of the people. The word of the Lord. Let's pray. God, we give you thanks for this, your word, and for the ways that it still speaks to us today. Help us to hear your word and to know your word, Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. The sermon this morning is titled Representation. Representation's a fascinating thing. Have you ever noticed that you ever get on an airplane? Anybody? I mean, maybe it's been a year for many of us, but if you get on an airplane, the pilots, most of them, are they men or women? Generally men. I heard an interview with a female pilot, and she, I don't remember what all was going on, but they were talking a little bit about representation and women being airline pilots. And, well, you know, typically little kids will be like, oh, that's men's work, that's women's work, right? Even if it's not, they'll be like, oh, well, men do this, women are nurses, men are doctors, women are nurses, whatever. And this airline pilot asks her son, hey, do you think you might want to be an airline pilot someday? And her kid says, no, that's women's work. Because he sees his mom's a pilot. Another example of this representation thing, I heard a podcast called The Miseducation of Larry P., which explains why black children are not eligible to be given IQ tests in the state of California. That's fun, right? Why not? Turns out, among other things, there was this kid, and I forgot his name. Maybe I do. No, I have it. Kid, I forget his name, but he was diagnosed according, this was the clinical diagnosis, mentally retarded, because he did poorly on a IQ test. But they tested this out. They normed the test on white kids. So, for example, one of the questions on the test was to test reading comprehension. One of the questions was, you're in a store and you find a wallet sitting on the shelf. Do you take that wallet to the manager or leave it there? Or there were a couple other options. And if you put take the wallet to the manager, that was the right answer. You take the wallet to the manager because that's what you do if you're a white kid. But if you're a black kid and you take that wallet to the manager is going to immediately assume you stole it and you're probably going to get arrested. But they didn't ask any black kids what the correct answer to that question was. So this and a bunch of other cultural stuff ended up leading to, they just said, no, you can't IQ test black kids because it's not, it hasn't been normed properly. There were other ways maybe that they could have and should have done that, but Larry P., because he did badly on the test, got a failure of an education. The importance then is representation matters. Having someone like you in the places where decisions get made matters. But we're talking about the Ascension. Y'all know about the Ascension? Jesus spends his life on earth, gets executed, raised from the dead, And this is part of the creeds. He descends to the dead and he ascends into heaven. You know, I mean, we know we got Easter, we have Christmas, we're big on those holidays, but you know, Ascension Day is a real holiday. I found it out. I was reading a book about Christopher, like I was reading a history book, and it mentioned that Christopher Columbus died on Ascension Day. It's like, what the heck is Ascension Day? And I think I was in high school and I read that and I was like, what is Ascension Day? Well, it's the day that Jesus ascends to heaven. Why does it matter? Well, I read a bunch of books and I read, like, there was an article in Presbyterians Today and there was an article, chapter in Philip Yancey's book, The Jesus I Never Knew. But nothing, I couldn't find anything that really was compelling reason to be excited about Ascension Day. And then I started reading the Confessions, and I found a reason to be excited about Ascension Day. And its representation. Would you like to see the Confessions? Heidelberg Catechism, question number 47. How does Christ's ascension to heaven benefit us? This is in our Presbyterian Church USA Book of Confessions. I believe Pastor Davenport preached through the Confessions at one point, right? Well, if you weren't here, that's okay. First, Jesus is our advocate in heaven in the presence of the Father. Second, and this was the part that spoke to me, we have our own flesh in heaven as a sure pledge that Christ, our head, will take us, his members, up to himself. We have our own flesh in heaven. That was half of it. Here's the other half from the Scots Confession. Jesus' body did ascend into the heavens for the accomplishment of all things, where in our name and for our comfort he has received all power in heaven and earth. There is a human being in heaven. And this is weird and complicated and confusing, but you start with the assumption of a three-tiered universe. Tier one, lowest level, Sheol, under the earth. On the earth is the second level, and in heaven is the third tier of the universe. So, Revelation, on the earth and above the earth and under the earth, all things, praise God, right? So, there's a human being in heaven. I tried to get that to connect with modern astronomy. And what we know about the universe, Jesus didn't ascend into space. This is one of the things where you just have to let it happen. Just let it happen. Jesus ascends into heaven. Don't worry about the physics. I tried asking my Christology professor about, so where is Jesus' body physically? Because bodies physically have to have locations. He wouldn't answer me. It was kind of rude. But I found Augustine's response was just, don't worry about it, it's fine. So just let it, we'll let it go. And stick with that business that there's a human being in heaven. We talked about representation matters. I couldn't find a better example, but representation, ooh, I do have one. Representation matters. How many little black boys woke up the day that Barack Obama became president and said, there's someone who looks like me in the White House. I could be president someday. Kamala Harris said that she's running for all the little girls. And I know they're Democrats, but they're also the first, Barack Obama was the first not white president, and Kamala Harris was the first not white and female president, so we're just going to go with them. Little girls woke up and said, I could be vice president someday. That representation matters. There's a human being in heaven. And this right here, this is why that matters. We don't have a high priest who's unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who in every respect has been tested as we are, yet without sin. Here's what Calvin has to say about that, and I'm going to preface this and end it with, I think Calvin was wrong. Thus, Calvin says, Jesus turns the Father's eyes to his own righteousness to avert his gaze from our sins. He so reconciles the Father's heart to us that by his intercession he prepares a way and access for us to the Father's throne. You catch that? He reconciles the Father's heart to us. It's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible says God was in Christ reconciling not the Father to the world, but God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. I don't know if you caught that difference. The difference is that Calvin has Jesus reconciling the Father to us. The Bible has Jesus reconciling the world to the Father. That God's not against us. Calvin's wrong here. Look at Romans 5:8. God proves his love for us that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. John 1:18. No one has ever seen God. It is God, the only Son, who is close to the Father's heart, who has made him known. As Brian Zond puts it, Jesus doesn't change God. Jesus reveals God. Jesus doesn't make God not be angry at us. Jesus reveals to us that God wasn't angry at us in the first place. Jesus' intercession on our behalf is not with a hostile judge, but with a loving parent. Jesus' intercession on our behalf is not with a hostile judge, but with a loving parent. And there's a big difference. Difference is, how many of you with kids have ever just sat there and gone, why are they doing that? Jesus has recent experience of having been a human, just in the same way that kids understand kids, humans, to some extent, understand other humans. Jesus understands what it is to be human. Jesus knows the human experience. For example, and I'm going to try to not get into too much heresy here, but maybe it's significant that Jesus starts his earthly ministry with the practice of being hungry. You guys seen those Snickers commercials? One's like, you're not you when you're hungry. And they're like, just rawr, and then they have a Snickers. And I'm like, well, yeah, I'm fine. But you're not yourself when you're hungry. And, well, you remember in the wilderness, the people are hungry and they're like, God, we cannot with this manna. We simply cannot with this manna. And God's like, I'll give you meat. You want something to eat? Have some snakes. Okay, that's not exactly how it goes, but you get that, right? And Jesus starts his earthly ministry with 40 days of being hungry. And then when the people show up and they're like, Jesus, we're hungry. And Jesus is like, we got some food around here, right? Jesus brings that experience of having been human to the court of heaven, if you will. Jesus represents us. There is a human being in the presence of God that this is the theology I was taught in seminary, in Christology class, that Jesus, to this day, has a human body in heaven. And so can explain, not to a hostile judge, but a loving parent, this is what's going on with those people. This is why they are acting the way they are. It could just be that they're hungry. Could just be they haven't had enough sleep. Jesus brings that experience to God. But of course, God knows everything, right? God exists before time. God exists before time, before the universe. God exists. God is omniscient, knows everything, except does not have experiential knowledge. You know the difference between like learned knowledge and experiential knowledge, right? Y'all are teachers. One of you could probably tell me this. if you can know something in your head, but knowing it from having experienced it. One example, you can know that if you nail your hand with a hammer, it's going to hurt. But if you have experienced it, you're a lot less likely to do it. Well, maybe, unless you're a carpenter, then you're more likely to do it. But Jesus has been a carpenter, which has nothing to do with it. So that representation matters, and God cares enough about us. Among other things, Jesus becomes human and returns to heaven with that human body, with that experience of having been human. And, you know, clearly that's important to God, so maybe it's important also for humans to have representation of various of the people that they're trying to help, because if God's on our side, God is a very present help in time of need. God is trying to help us and brings to that experience Jesus having been human. One last story, and we're going to wrap this up. There's a book I read a while back called Toxic Charity, where it talks about, among other things, there's some kind of natural disaster, a hurricane or something, and it wipes out the electrical grid on, I want to say, Puerto Rico or somewhere. And these charities come in and they give solar panels to help Puerto Rico get back on the power grid. And you think, that's a great idea, right? The problem is they didn't ask anybody from the place they were trying to help what kind of help they wanted. Turns out there were already solar panel manufacturing companies in the place that needed help, and when there was this massive glut of solar panels coming in, they killed the local solar panel industry. The point being that representation matters, and it's important for, if you're going to try to help somebody, to maybe ask them what kind of help they need before you help them. There's a human being in heaven, one of us, in heaven. God on our side, Jesus advocating for us with someone who's already on our side, but has the experience of having been human. Let's pray. God, we thank you that you are on our side. We thank you that Jesus is advocating for us with the experience of having been human, knowing what it is to be hungry, to be tired, to be oppressed. Thank you for just the level of understanding that gives you, and for caring enough for us to want to experience it for yourself, what it is to be like us. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.